ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Yeah. about taking care of Bhakti and when Krishna told him about it. And he went to the next part. And so he said, ah, who was that guy? Why did he come here? How did Krishna deal with him? Why did he tell him about it? So he's telling all these things when he can analyze it. Do not think that I am not eternal, I am not kept up from the day, don't be an unhealthy person. Krishna Deva is so sectarian that I can go on getting a contract. Please do not give me up this person. Give me a complete version of the past and purpose. Because, and hearing this Krishna Deva became even more inspired. He became even more enthusiastic. So this is the meaning of inclusiveness. Inclusiveness means consciously that it is a goal. Yes, and it inquire about the spiritual subject matter. Same as the case with even the state of Naini Sharanya. So, 100,000 of pages were assembled at Naini Sharanya, very good place, called the Harvard University. So, there they inquired from Sutta Rupa. So, all the pages were headed by Shamanta, and they also were very, very good. They were later appreciated by Sutta Goswami for their eagerness to hear Krishna Deva. So every time they would ask the question, they would know the first week, they would congratulate them for that question. And they were all focused on hearing about Krishna. So this inclusiveness is a price that one has to pay for attaining transcendental knowledge. Which has to be trained on the five questions. Five questions means hearing with submission. It's not just a question, five questions. Who is hearing with permission. So hearing with permission is different from intellectual hearing. So many times we are able to understand things but not accept them due to lack of permission. So why is this kind of indicator? It means hearing with submission. Kaya, the late person, had heard Krishna's glory several times from his voice. But many times nothing under his ears. Though he was they are always proud of the ego. And he used to show many modular activities of his own to become famous among his wives and other persons. So even sometimes he got a servant and showed them just to how great am I. Everyone was afraid of Kaya. When at last when Krishna smashed him, and all the poison came out and all the smoke came out of his mouth, and he was completely he will get smashed, because there is no sense in his body. At that time he can get a sickness. And then when his wives are glorified in Krishna, every single word enters his ears and fitted in his heart. And he could not forget about a single word. And then after his wife finished, and he started repeating the same prayers, whatever his wife said. He didn't already know. He just started telling him and he repeated it. So, hearing the permission, really has a great in one's heart. It will transform the heart of the disciples. So, that's why the five questions are here. The disciples should hear from the Supreme Master his permission, and the heart should be fertile. When the disciples' heart is fertile, and the Supreme Master shows the seed, then it sprouts. And then gradually the tree will grow, it sprouts in the fruit of love of God, in the heart of the disciples. So, jignasu. That's why we're talking about jignasu. So people are inquisitive, but they may not be inquisitive in the way we explain here. Remember, people come to Krishna consciousness program, which they do, with various motives. At one time, in a very early day, 2-3 months I had been going to Jigurya. One boy had come. I was not a believer. I was not even chanting 3 rounds. I was chanting hardly 2 rounds at that time. It was 91. But seeing the other devotees, I also wanted to say something to others and tell something about Krishna to others. So one boy had come there. Then I asked him about the Vrindavan and everything. And he told me that he came to the temple, but he heard that Krishna travels from the beautiful devotees. So he said, if I come to the temple, I would have to get many things like that. He said, so people come to Krishna for a very good reason. And he also said, I have seen many. And then all of them were sitting in the car, telling books, and just come to see. So sometimes they come with some such motive. Let us just go and see. Some people come for Krishna, some people come for books, some people come to see the Americans. So they come for various reasons. But then finally, just like whether the child catches fire or old man catches fire, it doesn't make any difference. Because they are coming in contact with Krishna, he becomes things for the period of time. Then they are not related for his sake. Like one person, like one boy chant of Dhamkar in the ashram in Bombay. So his mother became so angry that she gave him the paper, newspaper, that my son has been taken to the ashram and he will be an engineer. He has been taken away. This is what the people do with Krishna. And that's the latest article in the paper. That so many inmates are with him too. They can be chanting, dancing. He became very interested. If you go and see in the temple, what is that? What are the dedicated people doing there? They just came to the temple some 3-4 years ago. Now the initiative was very scary, but he took it from Maharaj. Now he's accounted in Maharaj. I don't know his name, maybe no accountant.
You
don't know? Huh? No. The power to work. He's not good and good. Ramchari Prabhu, yeah. Ramchari Prabhu. He's not mixed it up. About sentiment to his mother at the end. But he thought it was a pain that so people become inquisitive and when they come to Krishna, then they will reap the benefits. Some kind of inquisitiveness should be there. Unfortunately, in Kaliyuga, Ananda Samananda Matiyo, Ananda Bhajya, is what we call it. People are very, very sad in Kaliyuga. They don't inquire anything. They have no questions at all, except for self-education. They question only about how to get my food, how to get money, how to increase the bank balance. There is a saying that the power of India. If you say money, even a dead cop will jump up. That's what you say money. People are very, very bad. But if you talk about God, they are very bad. Some of money is going on. And it's very bad money. But this existence is very much required. Because we really must know about God. Who am I? Know the power of the Lord, the Lord is watching. So this is also one of the categories of people who come to Krishna. And this is what I'm talking about, Jnani. One is to knowledge. He is searching for the knowledge of that truth, Jnani. Sometimes the Jnani is part of the impersonalist people. Because actual bhakti starts from the point when one has achieved the dharma of the stage. The stage where one has achieved equanimity. One is not affected by sukha or dukha, by happiness of this source. One is not affected by pāṇara, dushāṇara, or parśīta, krishna, or samāra, this source. One is equal by it. So on that stage, Krishna says, Matrati Jalate Pala, Ramadhika Prasannatma, Naya Shoshati, Naya Manshati, the complete state. And then, for the second man, Samasarvesh, Bhutation, Matrati Jalate Pala, and that is what we do. So, what is what there is a practical example of the Sushesh Kumara. Brahma himself was telling this part time to the demigods. He said how, once when the Sushesh Kumara, who was great Brahma Jnani, there were once passing through the sky, they went to the end of the universe, at the point where the Vaikuntha is. So they saw the beautiful shape of Vaikuntha road. First, it was the winter, great winter, and the other way to come to the winter, they used to be my daughter. They were up in the winter. And when they saw the door, they were in the river, and they found half a center of Vishnu. They were having the Dara in their hands, and they stopped with the Smara. And the Sukumara became angry. And seeing this, Vishnu immediately came out. When Vishnu came to the door along with Bharata Parchan, immediately the Sukumara could get to see him. But he said, even before they had the darshan of Vishnu, the Tulasi leaf that was placed in the feet of Lord Vishnu, that carried the aroma, fragrance, and entered the nostrils of these four sages. So they were small children. They never grew up because that was a benediction given to them. They had prayed that they should not grow up. Or once you grow up, you become spoiled. Whether you remain a child. So they have got a womb like that, they remain like children. But in wisdom, they were like an ocean. So when the Tulasi Makaranda, when it touched their nostrils, at once they became Krishna's great devotees, at once. And then they beheld the beauty of Vishnu after that.
Kasya-ravinda-yanasya-padara-vinda Kinjar-kamishya-tulasi-makaranda-vayu Antas-gata-antas-gata-svadu-varena-chakara-kesha Sankshobama-shabadusha Atichit-patango Kasya-ravinda
Kasya-ravinda is lotus.
Kasya-ravinda-yanasya-padara-vinda
Lord's eyes are also like lotus and his feet is also like lotus.
Padaravinda, Kinjarka, Mishra, Tulasi, Makaranda, Vayu.
And the Tulasi, mixed with the lotus feet of the Lord, in the air carried that, and entered the nostrils, Sakshogam Akshara Disha. Akshara Disha means they were fixed in Omkar, Nirakar Brahman. Their minds were fixed in that, stable. Sakshogam means agitation. The agitation was created in their determination. By smelling the fragrance and the aroma of the tulasi leaf that was offered to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Abhijit Satango, the whole body started quivering in ecstatic love for Vishnu. And then when they were beholding the beauty of Lord Vishnu, it is said, Lord Vishnu's form appeared like a blue lotus for them. His smile appeared like a blossoming jasmine flower. Such in a series. But in Lord's smile, his teeth appeared like series of jasmine flowers. And they looked at the lotus feet of Vishnu and all the toenails appeared like pearls, such in a series. In this way, Lord Vishnu came close to them and repeatedly they started beholding the beautiful bodily parts of Lord Vishnu. And they became great devotees of Vishnu. Satish Kumaras. In this way, Brahmanyanis, they turned into great devotees of the Lord. Similar thing happened in the life of Shukadeva Goswami also. Shukadeva Goswami was such a great Brahmanyani that he never wanted to come out of his mother's womb. There's a long history about the birth of Shukadeva, how he was born. Shukam is actually a parrot. So he was a parrot in the spiritual sky. He was a parrot of Radharani, a great devotee. But when he came to the material world, he performed a special pastime. I will tell you the second part of the story. So when Shukha was in the womb of his mother, 16 years passed away, but he never came up. Because he thought it is useless to come up. Because once he gets into the material world, he will become entangled. So let me better remain inside only. And then it is said, later on, when he came out of the mother's womb, immediately started spreading towards the forest. And he went into the forest. And his father was following him and calling him, "My son, please come back, come back." Never even turned back. He said he went to the forest. And there he heard some woodcutters singing a beautiful poetry. And the poetry, the meaning was like this. It was giving a complete description of the beauty of Krishna. How Krishna is like a dancing actor in Vrindavan. How he has a very beautiful peacock feather on his head. How his hair is beautiful. Blackish and curly. How his lips are like dimple fruit. How his eyes are like lotus petals. How he wears a beautiful vibrant himala in his neck. And how his pitamba is glowing like gold. And how he plays on his flute. How he fills the flute with the nectar of his lips. In this way he was singing a poetry. Later on the gopis are also singing the same part. He comes in the tenth canto. When gopis felt the separation of Krishna, he sang the tenth song. So these woodcutter men, they were singing this song. And when Shukadeva heard it, he became captivated by the descriptions given by the woodcutters. And then he continued to hear very attentively. Then they reported the words, "Aho vakiyam panakala putam, vilam tayapa yo vatyasabdi, te vekatim jati vichitam tapanya, kambhadayalim sharanam brajema." So this was sung earlier also, in the study of Uddhava. So here they were singing this song. Who can be more merciful than the one, Lord, who gave the position of dhatri or nurse to even Putana,
Hukum tuksir dengan puasa. Pokoknya beruang, mau masuk ke bahan. When he heard it, one of the boys said, he is better to look at us and fell at our feet. And told them, who taught you all this? I thought you were ordinary work at us. Then they told him, we learned all this from your father only. Then he said, go back to your father. Then Shukadev went back to his father. He learned the Srimad Bhagavata. In our Sarasati, we were reading one quote, you know, he said, Atyaham Tad Adhitavan, he said. Atyaham Tad Adhitavan, he said. This means that I heard this entire Srimad Bhagavatam from my father. He only taught me everything. Then he went on to become a great devotee. That's why in Bhagavatam itself it is said, so even the great jnanis who have completely severed the knot of little attachments, even they see a great attraction for a person like God, Lord Krishna. And you know the words? Atma Ramastha Munajo Nirgranta Ati Urukrame. Nirgranta means they have severed the knot of middle attachment. And their Atma Ram, we could call it, they are never disturbed in any circumstance. And they have nothing to give and take with the world. They are not eager to achieve anything material. They are not hankering for anything. And they are not sorrowful about anything. They are already happily situated. They are Atma Ram. Atma Ramastha Munayo Nirgranta. They severed the knot of material attachment. What more is to be done? But still they say, Ati Urukkane, Kurvanti Ahitukyam Bhakti. Still they do Ahitukyam Bhakti for Lord Krishna. Uttam Bhuta Guna Hari. Such is the quality of Lord Hari, it is said. So the Hari qualities are so great that Atma Rama has become captivated by his wonderful qualities. In one sense, only the Atma Ramas can become attracted to Lord Hari. Nobody else. Unless one is able to give up the attraction to, of the material world, there is no possibility of becoming attracted to what? Beauty and pastimes of Krishna. So real Atmaram is one who becomes captivated by the Lord's name, form, pastimes, qualities and everything. So sometimes it is thought of in one aspect that one has to come to the stage of complete detachment from the material world, that you have no attraction for anything. You become detached, you live in the forest, you live in seclusion, and you don't speak anything, you don't do anything. And this is sometimes wrongly considered to be the highest platform. But this verse confirms that this is not the highest platform. The real platform of liberation is when one becomes truly attached to Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami said, Yuktam Vairagyam Ichate. But one can not touch the things of the world, that is one type of detachment. Or one can take the things of the world and enjoy for oneself, that is bhoga. But to take the things of the world and use it in Krishna's service, that is real detachment. Or take it back to the source of everything, that is real detachment. So Atma Rama for those who understand that everything comes from Krishna, all the qualities come from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything, and they glorify him. Atma Rama, very nice verse from Bhagavatam. Please follow through to Atma Ramastha Munayo Nirgranta Virukrame Kurvanta Haitukim Bhaktim Uttam Bhuta Guna Hari. Such is the quality of Lord Hari. So in this way, somebody may be a Brahman Jnani but can be promoted to the platform of becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. In the purpose spent half the purport for explaining what is pure devotion. In India, in many places there is a misconception that the highest platform of life is achieved moksha, which means liberation from the pangs of cycle of birth and death. This is considered to be the highest. In fact, many people lose interest in such a pursuit. Why? Because if you ask them, what next after death? Where do you go? Many people have a notion that moksha means get out of the world and you go to some place where there is nothing, where there is silence, there is no activity, there is simply a void, niraka, or some people think there is some light and you merge in that light. Very few people have any idea about what happens actually. You tell me, why should a person be interested to give up all activities and go to such a place where there is only simply some light, where you can't do anything? So seeing this, many people lose interest. Many people think there is nothing there, huh? Do better let me believe my job. We do some business in this world. But they do not know the absolute truth is sentient. Absolute truth is full of emotion. Absolute truth has qualities. Now all the things originate from the absolute truth. The material world is a perverted reflection of the absolute truth. So the perverted reflection gives us some idea what the absolute truth should be. By seeing the material world, which is a perverted reflection, one can guess what it could be. Like if the room is pitch dark and you find some light ray inside, you can surely know that the light ray is coming from some light source. It is coming from the sun. So there is a sun and there is a mirror. The mirror is reflecting the light inside the room, dark room. Similarly, in this world we are seeing beauty. On one hand, we find all horrible things in this world. There are dirty things in this world. But still, when you find some good qualities like beauty, intelligence, or strength, pronunciation, when you see these qualities, these are all sparks in this world. But the reflection of these sparks, where is it coming from? Without the absolute truth, the source of it, how can the absolute truth not have it? So when you see such wonderful things in this world, it gives us some idea that there has to be absolute truth full in all these attributes. That gives us an idea. When you see a mirage in a desert, that gives you some idea. Of course, I am not able to catch hold of the mirage here. So the mirage gives me an idea that there is water somewhere else. So this is one point in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness which greatly convinced me about the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. Because when you see the beauty of the world, the impersonalist can never answer where this beauty is coming from. There is no answer. Everything is Maya. Imagine that the beauty is Maya. Very easy to say. But if one has some little sense, one can ask this question. This is beauty, but where is it coming from? If the absolute truth doesn't have beauty, then how can the reflection have beauty? So, in order to escape from the mirage of the material world, the impersonalist discarded saying that it doesn't exist. So that is the easy way of escaping the problem. But that is not the reality. So, Atma Rama Samanyo Nirjanta Apiru Karne. Although they have become detached from all things of the world, when they come to a platform of equanimity, they will feel attraction for Krishna. And this is attraction for Krishna. In fact, such devotees are explained in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Advesha, Sarvabhutana, Maitra Karna, Evacha, Nirmamo, Nirahankara, after achieving all these qualities, one becomes a pure devotee. In fact, such a devotee is constantly carrying Krishna in his heart. And Krishna is carrying such devotees in his heart. Constantly, at every moment, they cannot be separated from one another. One achieves that platform. But if one imagines oneself to be God at that stage, then they fall down. For the prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam of Kumaras. And I say, the prayer says that if a tiny living entity imagines himself to be the absolute truth, he is sure to fall down. On the other hand, if the living entity understands himself to be a tiny part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, and to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Whole, then he can be reinstated in his original position of service to Lord. So, these four different kinds of people come to Krishna, but with some ulterior motives. So they are called mixed devotees, mixed bhaktas. They are not pure devotees. The kind of pure devotees are explained here. Anya abhilashita shunyam. All other abhilashita should be shunyam. Jnana karma adi anavritam. One should be free from jnana and karma mishrit bhakti. That means one should be free from some ulterior aspiration. For example, somebody is doing bhakti for getting something in return from the Lord. In fact, everyone in the beginning, we see like these four people, they come to the Lord with something in return. Give me this, give me that. They want something from the Lord. Let's say a father comes from the office to bring some sweet packet, then all of a sudden pounce upon it. Give me this, give me this, give me this. Like that Lord has opened up his material world with full of facilities in the material world. And everyone wants to pounce upon it. Everyone wants to take and enjoy. So this tendency of taking always is there in the living entity, in its conscious stage. Always take whatever is your quota and ask for more. Sometimes you see the children, they take and put one biscuit in the bag and ask one more. Then, I want this also. Sometimes they take all the toys one in the sand, one in the sand, one on heaven. So that also you want. And you are trying, raising hands and legs. This is the tendency of asking the Lord for more and more. But pure devotion service means to learn how to give to Krishna. That is devotion service. So if come the Sarada Sri Prabhupada to teach us how to give to Krishna. So Prabhupada always used to condemn this. Even when he went to the West, he used to say, all day you are working hard to earn money to fill up your belly, and you go to church and ask that, give me bread. Same thing again. So working for bread and going to God for the same problem of bread. So when will your bread problem be solved? Prabhupada used to ask like that. So this way people have a tendency to ask. But a devotee means which God is give Krishna. But Yashoda is feeding Krishna. You never ask, you never see Yashoda asking Krishna something. So what I am speaking is a very important concept for any man going to God. Because this is something very common. You see anybody going to temple. If they have no problem, nobody will go to temple. People go to God saying that my son has, you know, attended an interview. My dear God, please give him a job. And the doctor is now, we are looking for a boy for the doctor. He should get married. Our sponsor is very sick. He saved his life. Something or the other. People have some demand from God. That is not at all pure devotion service. If you want to do pure devotion service, you should do like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj prayed. He told us, I am not a merchant to do some business with you. But I will do devotion for you and you will offer me something in return. I am not a merchant, he said. Nasabritya, Sarayvani. Nasabritya. Siddhapani is not a natural servant. He is a merchant. One who is doing business with the Lord. So jnana karma or anavrita means people who come to Lord for material benefits are called as karma nishidbhakta. Jnana nishidbhakta. They want to worship the form of Krishna with the ulterior motive of merging into impersonal Brahma. Something like Ramdas Vishwas. To accompany Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So this Ramdas Vishwas was always crying tears, drops of tears from his eyes. And he was taking the bag of Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he said, I will keep it with me. I will carry it for you. Raghunath Bhatta told him, please, please, I will do it myself. But he wanted to serve him. So Raghunath Bhatta talked to himself, what a great devotee of Lord Ram. Yes. He wants to render service to me. And he's crying tears when he went to Lord Ram's temple. His whole body is, you know, palpitating, he's beating heavily and falling on the ground and rolling, and he's crying tears. Suddenly he's a very great devotee. I will teach him to Lord Chaitanya and introduce him to him. So thinking of this way, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami took Ramdas Vishwas along with him. And then when they approached Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya embraced Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But he thoroughly neglected the Ramdas Vishwas. He didn't even put a sight on him. He didn't even look at him. And that gave a great surprise to Raghunath Bhatta. Later on, Chaitanya explained to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami that by other fellow was a monist. He actually was worshipping Ram to merge into Lord Ram. His duplicity. Because you are entering service to someone so that you can occupy his post. Like you say, go to the king and say, I will wash your clothes, I will wash your feet, I will wash your chappals, and I will pull you down and I will sit in your seat. Like that. It's a very wrong tendency. This is the tendency of impersonalism. So this is actually jnana karma anavrita. One should give up that tendency. You see, there was one nice sentence I will check over this in this one. When the right classes are frustrated in every field of knowledge, no, it's not here. But in some other purpose, very nice point, your name. He said the living entity concocts different types of words, jugglery, to not surrender to Krishna. Either he wants to call himself as God, or he wants to call God as an ordinary human being. Either make Krishna as an ordinary human being, or you make a human being into Krishna, or you call yourself as Krishna. You come up with such words, jugglery. Speak this word, jugglery, so that you can escape surrendering to Krishna. Like that. So once you give up such tendencies, speculative tendencies, so jnana karma adi anavritam. That is why the real knowledge about Krishna will be seen in the future verses and will be revealed in the heart of a devotee who subconsciously surrenders to a spiritual master. There is no second way. Because all other ways of speculation will find no end. It's like a vast ocean. So keep on speculating. There are hundreds of theories, there are thousands of arguments, there are millions of logic. There is no end. We find no end at all in life. But when one achieves a small trace of the mercy of the Supreme God, but it is said in the 10th chant of prayers of Brahma. What is it was?
Shreyasyatum bhaktimudasyate vibhu tishanti eke vadabodalabdhaye keshamato klesham yoga shishyate nanyat patate vatishabhagatina.
And the next verse also. Padana, next verse.
Atapite deva padambhujadvaya prasadalesanubhihitayomahi ज्ञानाति तत्त्वं भगवन्न भिन्न तथान्ये कोऽपि चिरं विचिन्न.
So that is saying that those who are my Lord speculating about you, to understand what is the truth, it is like picking a empty husk. But on the other hand, one who has achieved the prasada lesha anugraha. So these kumaras, they achieved the lesha anugraha. They achieved the drop of the mercy of the Lord and they became like devotees. So one should aspire for this drop of mercy. To become a pure devotee of Krishna. So we all have these tendencies of jnana and karma, and it has to become anavrata. One has to remove that covering. We have some motivation in doing devotion service, and if you would not get that motivation fulfilled, probably you won't be doing devotion service. Like somebody wants to be acclaimed as a good preacher, and wants to be appreciated as a good preacher, or somebody wants to be appreciated as a good garland maker, somebody wants to be appreciated as a good dressmaker, and somebody wants to be appreciated as a good glove down maker, whatever. Everyone has some motivation while rendering service to Krishna. We have not become free from that tendency. It is karma actually. You have a desire for getting the fruits of our action. So one has to render service to Krishna without any motivation. And that should be anukulyena Krishna anushirana. Anushirana means sort of cultivation. Bhakti itself is a sort of cultivation. Bhakti is not just devotion. Sometimes people say, devotion, I have devotion in my heart. I already have it. And you may not see it manifesting, but I already have it in my heart. Just like the wife is lying in a cushioned bed. And she tells her husband, my dear husband, I have lot of love for you. I will not cook for you. I will not wash the clothes. I will not trust them. I will not attend to the bell calls that are coming to home. But I have lot of love for you. I will be just lying in my bed. What kind of love is that? I mean, somebody says, I love you, isn't it? So your devotee says, my dear Lord, I have lot of love for you. Only thing is, I will be sitting idly in one place. I won't do anything for you. This kind of devotion is bogus. This is not called devotion service. That's why Prabhupada translated the word bhakti as devotion service. So it has to be service. So one has to render some kind of service to Krishna. Then it is devotion service. Well, chant his holy names. We have to dance for him, we have to cook for him, we have to wash his temple. There are innumerable services to be done for Krishna. In fact, such rendering of service will cleanse our heart and increase our faith in Krishna. Even jnanis and yogis and karma yogis, they all can turn into great bhaktas if they render some service to Krishna. By such service, even a small service can make us into a devotee. Prakashan and Saraswati, he rendered a small service. Do you know what he did? He saw Lord Chaitanya sitting near the place where people wash their feet, and he told him, please come. He just told him to come inside, and Lord Chaitanya wasn't coming. Then he went and gave his own hand. He caught hold of his hand and said to him, please come inside. That one small service he rendered to him, due to which he became a great devotee. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He had tens and thousands of disciples. And all their maya bodies, impersonalists, and headed by Prakash and Saraswati, they all turned to great devotees because of rendering that small service. So, when we have these tendencies of jnana and karma in us, we have to go on rendering service with a prayer in the heart. My dear Lord, let my wrong tendencies be cut and let me become your pure devotee. And let all my other abhilasha, any abhilasha means any other abhilasha other than serving Krishna. We have lot of abhilasha. We only have to find them out. We can make a list. What all abhilasha we have in our life. So it's very easy to find out if you are very sincere. So we have to get rid of all those anya adarashas. Bhakshatva Sarun Krishna. Anukurvyena Krishna Anushilana. It should be anukurvya, it cannot be pratikur. There are five types of ways to remember Krishna, which we explained in one of the classes before. Gopya Kama, Vaya Kamso, Desha Chedya, Vayan Rupa. Then, Sambandha Krishna, you know? No. Is Gopya Kama, the Gopi remember Krishna by intense love. Vaya Kamso, Kamso remember Krishna by great fear. Always remember Krishna in fear. And Chedya Adya means all the Shishupala and other things, they are envious of Krishna. And Sambandha Krishna, due to their connection with Krishna, Sambandha, the Vishnis, they remember Krishna. Sneha, Niyam. And all the Pandavas remember Krishna by affection. Then he says it's not possible for one to achieve the kingdom of God. So some connection should be there. Some kind of connection should be there with Krishna. Some other one should remember Krishna. Tatmatyanapikarena, Marakrishna Veshya. The translation is very good. He says that translation, one should take the form of Krishna very seriously in one's mind. Don't take the form of Krishna very cheaply. One should take the form of Krishna very seriously. Even in Ashtanga Yoga, it is said, even when the practitioner does not know anything, he goes on practicing more and more and more. More he goes deeply, he sees the light, and he sees the bluish form, and then he sees the personality of Vishnu after that. Last point in Samadhi of Ashtanga Yoga is to see the form of Krishna, according to Patanjali Yoga Sutra. I do not know what the modern yogis do. But Patanjali Yoga Sutra says the last point in yoga is to see the personality of Lord Vishnu, Smriti, in the form of one's heart. So one will come to that stage. But the Shastra gives understanding, if one takes the form of Krishna seriously and tries to remember that form constantly always in mind, then one can achieve perfection. And all of these people remember Krishna like that. Kamsa was fearful. So that is not called anukul. Anukul means it should be favorably disposed. That's very important. Like Yashoda, her love for Krishna was favorably disposed. Sometimes one may get confused. Like Yashoda was keeping Krishna in the lab and Krishna was enjoying. At one time Yashoda saw that the milk is going to overflow. So she immediately put Krishna down and she ran into the kitchen to attend to the milk. So Krishna started crying and yelling and waving his hands and legs. So he became angry. So was Krishna listening to Yashoda or not? Was it anukul bhakti or pratikul bhakti? How you say that? He made Krishna cry, she made him. No? She went to attend to the milk, which was also meant for Krishna's service. That's his father's anukul. So she did not do anything which was not meant for Krishna's service. So her devotion to Krishna's service is anukul. Whereas Dvesha, Dvesha means envy for Krishna or fear for Krishna. So if one is remembering Krishna like that is not appreciated. That is pratikul bhakti. So here it is anukul yena krishnana shodhanam bhakti uttama. This is first class devotion. If you want to become first class devotees, then you should live according to this verse. The next verse is very smart and use one more.
Gopi also
is anukul. Anukul. Yeah. Kamat. Yeah. Kamat is intense love for Krishna. Yeah, that is anukul. Vayak
also is
not anukul. No, that is pratikul. Kamsa bhakti was pratikul. No, he is saying all these things are different ways of remembering Krishna. Somehow or other is a ground of Krishna is saying. Then, because Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead, by remembering him, one can achieve liberation in some region of the spiritual world. But if one cannot enter into the kingdom of God, one will maybe go to Brahman, but one cannot enter into relationship with Krishna unless one gives favorable devotion for it. If you want to strike a relation with Krishna, it has to be favorable. All the five of us are favorable in the spiritual world.
Yeah, correct.
But that is the beginning of transcendence. Brahman is the beginning of transcendence. But then it is the again one comes back, that is so. Papantiyaro, Anadir, Krishna, Vandre. But all these demons who are killed by Krishna, because Krishna's arrow touched them, immediately they become purified. And they achieve Brahman. എവറിവൺ രജത്തിന്റെ രാമ അർജുന്റെ കൃഷ്ണൻ. So at least they reach the Brahmaputra stage, and after Brahmaputra one can begin bhakti, that's possible. And one reaches Brahma stage, one can begin bhakti after that. One can exhibit the relationship after that. Yeah.
Brahmanas
attended to the yajna and neglecting Krishna. This is not in the same platform. So Yashoda relation with Krishna is very intimate. She is similarly acted as a mother, and the milk after she is giving to Krishna only. She is going to make something with that milk for Krishna only. But these people were actually worshipping the Yajna Purusha Vishnu, and by doing the Yajna. The Yajna Purusha had come already there and wanted to meet them, but he didn't go and attend. So the relationship of Yashoda with Krishna cannot be compared with the relationship of Brahmanas to Krishna. It's like putting earth and sky. Think of that. So Anupam Bhakti has to be understood by hearing from devotees only. Then we can understand very difficult what is the level of devotion, how it should be used. Like the devotees are quoting Krishna. If you read the 10th kind of Bhagavatam, they are saying that you are a cheater. You know, you cheated that you came as Vaman Dev and you sold all the property of Bali Maharaj. You already know. Your cheating is not new for us. You have already heard from Ramana. You are a great cheater. So it may appear like Pratipur. But Krishna is greatly relishing. He is scolding by devotees. Greatly enjoying. So, in Madrasa, carrying a stick and trying to beat Krishna, that is a possible. That's what you get from devotees. Transcendental form, yeah. So, when we hear from devotees, then one can understand what is actually Anukul Bhakti, what is actually favorable for Krishna. Like, for example, Bhishma Pitama, he wasn't really rest of Krishna. That is Anukul. So, Krishna wanted him to, you know, send the arrows on his body, and everything was like a flower garden. Krishna really relished that. Starting with Bhishma, and then Bhishma achieved Vaikuntha after that, isn't it? On the other hand, Kamara and Mishti, when they were beating Krishna, Krishna was getting pleasure, they were actually enjoying it, but that is Pratipul Bhakti, that is not Anukul. Because they didn't have any relationship with Krishna, they were just beating him out of passion. You get the point? So when you hear from devotees, you can understand what is actually Anukul, what is Anukul Bhakti, yeah. Because the motive in the heart of the devotee is very important. What is the motive in the heart of the devotee? As a Brahmana, they had absolutely no understanding of what is Krishna at all. They were simply interested in rites and rituals. Whereas Yashoda had intense love for Krishna, and whether she put Krishna down and went to milk, or whether she was keeping him at the lab, her love for Krishna never decreased. So the motive is very important.
They
should be connected to Krishna in some way. But he was the other demons. They remember Krishna, it's most important. The modern times people who are envious of Krishna, yeah, they are Jaina only. They hardly become envious. Even when they become envious of Krishna, they don't look for a provider and they forget after that. They take the example of Shishupal, he was constantly envious. He was constantly blaspheming. There was a king called Vena, and Arjuna said, things like Vena can never achieve perfection in life, he said, because they had never, they had no relation with Krishna at all. He said, Katamotana Vena Chas Panchanam Krishnapati. These five relationships which he said, King Vena never had any relationship with Krishna like that. And so they were, whether they are bad things or good things, it's of no use. Like Nala Damayanti, he was a very good king in the material sense. There is no relation with Krishna. King Vena, he was a demoniac king, but had no relation with Krishna, which is there. That means we have to have some relation with Krishna. There is tight relation with Krishna in some relation.
Even to become an enemy of Krishna, you have to be qualified.
Yeah.
So, So husband just said that what is the position of child who is personally concentration? You think that they were I think a 34 manner.
Yeah.
So,
no, but when I took that example, I was telling about the motive. Motive, like, you know, when Bhishma is sending an arrow, he knows this is my Lord, and he wants me to take this position, and he wants me to send the arrows. So Bhishma was ready for both. Bhishma was ready to put up all the arrows and raise his hand and say, now I am surrendered to you. Or he was ready to fight with his arrows as long as Krishna wanted it. That means the devotee is like a puppet in Krishna's hands. And Krishna was like, as in the example, you know, the king sometimes appoints a wrestler. So now today king feels like wrestling with him. Then he tells the paid wrestler, come, today you give me some kicks. I will also give you some kicks, that's what I'm doing. So he is paying the wrestler, and the wrestler is simply living for the pleasure of the king. And the king says, okay, now I am tired, leave me. That's what must keep, hitting him. Isn't it? He has no enmity with the king. His goal is only to give pleasure to the king. Like even many of you, you would have your father, you know, standing on his body, you know, on his legs, or, you know, or hitting his, you know, back, you must have done that. Are you having any enmity towards him? You are doing to give him pleasure. When you are doing that, it gives him pleasure. And you are doing him knowing very well that my act of this is pleasing to him. If it would be, if it wouldn't be, you won't be doing that. Correct? Whereas when Swami Mystic and others are hitting, they are acting on behalf of Kamsa, you need to satisfy Kamsa. And they have no relation with Krishna. Get the point? The motive is very important in devotional life.
Sir,
you have said that you can fight person, like Kalyana. Yeah. It is true. It is true, even to achieve a position of Duryodhana or Karna or Ravana and all, it's not very easy. Even such a person is very high because they saw the Lord face to face, so they fight with him. In that sense, they are qualified. But that is another subject. We are now taking only one point. Particular anecdote, that's the question. Arun?
Is there any example of any Mayavadi who was actually fallen down from somebody
and again that he was so I don't know, think of Vishantra and Sabarimani. They achieved Brahman stage and they fell down. They were actually Brahma Bhuta. They both were Brahma Bhuta stage. Actually, Brahman and Bhuta need not necessarily be that you go up to Brahman and then come back. Even while being in this body, one can actually go on to the stage, right? If you call it, you know, one can actually economically, that is Brahma Buddha stage. Similarly, even in this body, one can achieve pure devotional service. It's not that, you know, only when you go to Goloka, you can achieve pure devotional service. Even while being in this body. But in Bhagavatam, there's a confirmation given. Dhavatma Apurisha Krishna, Tata Molam Na Unchati, it is said. If you become a completely purified soul, then you will never lose the lotus feet of Krishna. If somebody is giving Krishna service, that means he is not a pure devotee. A pure devotee can never leave Krishna service. Bhavatma Purusha Krishna Paramodam Nam. Yeah? 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 Yeah, he was rather than his parent in the spiritual world, but when he came to the material world, Lord made him a Brahmajnani to teach one lesson. Why you made him a Brahmajnani? How even a Brahmajnani becomes a great devotee of the Lord? In order to teach that, Lord made that first time. No, the womb. When he was the mother's womb, yeah. Yes. Sometimes even a pure devotee may put on the garb of a Brahmajnani. Lord may, like for example, Nimai Pandit. He was acting as a scholar earlier. And then later on, he became a great devotee of Krishna. By the touch of Ishwarapuri. Is it not? So Lord made that arrangement. Why? To show the world several lessons. One is that simply by speculation and logical argument you cannot achieve Krishna. That is one lesson we learn. And then by the connection with the pure devotee like Ishwarapuri, one can at once become a great devotee of Krishna. That is another lesson. And by the chanting of the holy names of Hare Krishna mantra, all one's speculative tendencies goes away. And all one's logical arguments go out and one can achieve pure loving devotion to Krishna. Many lessons he taught through that. In the same way, when Shiva came to his birth, it is said in the womb he was a Brahman, and when he came out, he was in the Brahma platform only. He had temporarily, his relationship with Radharani as a parrot was covered, so that he couldn't realize it. So he was acting like a Brahmajnani. He was observed to his Brahman, like nothing beyond. He was like that. And then by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he again became enlightened and awakened and he was in the service. पाया No, even if I am praying in the womb, as you read in the first canto, I am saying that, my dear Lord, now I am able to remember you, that you are the source of everything, you are the super soul, and the child is in a good consciousness, at least in the mother's womb. When he says that I don't even want to go up, because his material is a state of darkness, the child says, let me remain here only. But then by the force of his karma, he is forced to come out. Because now the child is in such a utter miserable condition that he is able to take shelter of Vishnu. Because there is no one to protect him. He is practically alone. Helpless. Very helpless.
And he doesn't know
the
relationship.
What do you think? Yeah, he doesn't know the time. Yeah. Then when he comes into the world, then he develops all relationships. What is the role, sister? Any questions in the class, but it's hearing attentively, still it is considered permissive inquiry. Because if he doesn't, if he or she doesn't have any interest in the subject they want to hear, that means they want, when others ask questions, they are very attentive. What is the question? I also want to know the question, I want to know the answer. That means you have the inquiry.
Then
you're sitting in the class. Okay, I did not agree with that statement totally. Because once I asked a question to Maharaj about sleeping in the class. So I said, you know, somebody sleeping in the class, can he say that he is totally disinterested in subject? And one said, no, maybe not be. Then how can we understand who is interested and who is not? Who has ego and who doesn't have? He said, somebody will be sitting in the first row in the class and fighting with the sleep, you know, and then falling back and said this several times, opening the eyes and again sleeping like that. But somehow or other, he is trying to hear the class. As much as possible, trying to move north and tell him going like this, you know, settling. But if a person is really not eager, he won't be here. He will be sitting in the corner, one leg outside the room, one leg inside. You know, if he's sitting in a safe place where nobody can disturb, he can get rejected. Like that. But anytime, whenever he wants to go, he can go out. Then, yes. That means he is awake, his eyes are awake, and he doesn't feel sleepy at all, still he has no eagerness. Business cannot be measured superficially. Again the same point, one's motive has to be seen, one's heart has to be seen. But Paramatma will be able to know our eagerness, how much eagerness we have, whether we sincerely want to inquire, everything will be known to the super soul. Nature is very small, you can see this.
तेषां ज्ञानी नित्ययुक्ता एकभक्तिर्विशिष्यते प्रियोज्ञानिनोत्यर्थम् अहंसकमव प्रियः
अद्वीत
द वन हू इज़ इन फुल नॉलेज एंड हू इज़ ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड इन प्योर वर्सेस सर्विस इज़ द बेस्ट फॉर आई एम द डियर टू हिम एंड ही इज़ डियर टू मी सो हू इज़ द ज्ञानी That is character of the Krishna in this verse. So although he said earlier, after Jignasa attacked Jnani, so he is saying who is that Jnani? Tesham, amongst them, Jnani, one who is in full knowledge, what is doing? Two qualities he is saying. Nitya Yukta, he is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. Eka Bhakti Vishishyate, Bhakti is fully engaged in pure service to Krishna and he is the best. So you have to be Nitya Yukta and you have to be Eka Bhakti. So such a devotee is very special. And Krishna says he is very gifted and very beautiful. So this is not speaking of ordinary Jnani. Jnani who is in Brahmaputra stage, he has no devotion to Krishna. So Krishna is saying, I am not talking about such a Jnani. Eka Bhakti Vishishyate. One who is fixed in devotion service unto me. So such is the type of Jnani. That's why this Jnani should not be misunderstood. Sometimes whenever we talk about studying scriptures, people who are not interested in science and scripture, they say, I don't want to become a jnani. I want to be a bhakta. So when they say that, what they actually mean is, I simply want to be sentimental. I don't want to become philosophical. So being sentimental is not a prerogative of a devotee at all. another specialty of the devotees. Devotees have both elements. Devotees should have emotion and you should have intellect. So devotee service is a blend of both. But Papa used to say, philosophy without religion is mental speculation. And religion without philosophy is sentimental. So we should not get trapped in any of these two. We have to have a blend of philosophy and religion. Like what we do in the morning, Mangalarti singing, dressing the ladies, offering bhoga to them, these are all religion, rituals. And then when we study the shastras to understand how we are not the body, we are the soul, what is asimta deva deva, and what is matter, what is spirit, this is philosophy. So we need both. Devotee needs both. So devotee has to have a blend of both things. So, it is said that one does bhakti intensely, then this jnana and vairagya, both are two children. So they will automatically come. So one may ask the question, why not do bhakti directly? Let's offer during the service of Krishna, keep quiet, don't study any shastra. Because jnana and vairagya will come automatically. We cannot execute two devotion service at our stage. And our mind is pulling in all directions, demanding why this, why that, so many questions. So we also study the scriptures to satisfy the raging mind, to pacify the mind and intellect. At the same time, we execute devotion service, and then gradually the real jnana, the real buddhi will be given by Krishna. Dham buddhi yogam tam, as Krishna says. That will be given by Krishna. So the bondage actually begins from ignorance only. All things begin from ignorance. The root of all suffering is avidya, ignorance. From ignorance comes sin, from sin comes sinful reactions, or the sufferings and other things. And then gradually all other things follow in life. So one should eradicate such an ignorance by proper knowledge. So here Krishna says, one who has full knowledge, as Papa explained earlier, Vadantita Tattavidastha, there is Brahmaiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagavaniti. One who knows all the three aspects of the Bhagavad Gita is called as Jnani here. One who is in full knowledge. Full knowledge means he knows Bhagavan aspect also. And he is a devotee of Lord Krishna. He is in full knowledge. But the other previous two schools of Brahmaiti and Paramatmaiti, they are considered to be partial. That's why the Papa explains here, there are two. This is the purpose. By such enough knowledge one realizes that so that the four are the devotees who can full knowledge and at the same time engage in devotion service. This, the last says, the best. Udara sarvate vaite nani kvatmaiva mematam
nani kvatmaiva mematam
asikastahi yuktatma
asikastahi yuktatma
nani vanuttamangatim
nani vanuttamangatim.
All these devotees are alluded in ignorance of those, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he should attain me, highest and most perfect goal. So Krishna is calling these four devotees as Udara. Udara means magnanimous souls. We just now said that these are mixed devotees. Why should Krishna call them as magnanimous? Why should he call them as great? This is the reason. Krishna is appreciating them because at least they are trying to come closer to Krishna. So Krishna is appreciating them. That's why sometimes the devotee says, okay, Prabhuji, today onwards I will start one round Hare Krishna. And then he becomes so happy. He says, such a great devotee, you pat him, you give prasad, you give gifts and everything. Thank you for chanting one round. He is so happy. But when somebody is standing 15 rounds regularly, and when you come to know that now they reduce it to 12 rounds, you become angry. What is this? Who told you to reduce it? Isn't that frustrating? So one is a grown up child, another is a newbie, the upcoming child. So we may treat them differently. In the same way, Krishna is calling them as Udara, as magnanimous souls. Just like a mother feels very happy when the child begins to utter the first word from the mouth, or child is trying to write the first letter. Child is just really putting accumulating spirals. And the mother is saying, just he has done R. The real child is writing R with several circles. Like that. Similarly, Krishna is telling them magnanimous souls. Mother feels great joy to see a child's intrinsic attempt to write something. In the same way, here Krishna is observing the insignificant attempt of the devotee who is coming to this temple and asking for these four things. Because the whole world is going in various directions. And amongst all the millions of souls, some few thousand souls come to Krishna. Krishna is very pleased. Yes, now they have begun at least in the right direction. They made an insignificant step, but in the right direction. That's why Krishna is calling them as Udara. Udara is the elite. We can see all the demigods who worship Vishnu, who always run to the feet of Vishnu. They are not given up the material desires. In fact, the few devotees of Krishna are superior to the demigods. They said, you know, Acharya Mam Vijaya Na Aramya Tarhita. Na Matya Vidya Asuyeta Sarvadeva Mayoguru. The Guru, it is said, he is actually the Guru is one in whom all the demigods reside. Similarly, as we say, all the Vetayash Bhushup Tribhuvana, Vishnu, Guru is glorified in all the three worlds, even with the demigods. Because the demigods are not pure devotees. Demigods are also mixed devotees, and they have many material desires also. Like once all the demigods came to Krishna, Krishna, and they offered many wonderful prayers. They glorified the form of the Lord, they glorified his activities, and very wonderful poetry. If you see that poetry, you will be amazed. It is so nice to return in such sweet Sanskrit. After all this glorification, then they submitted a petition to the Lord. They said, my dear Lord, this resources is creating such big problem for us. We are afraid of them. Please kindly do something. And give us some solution by which we can save ourselves. The Lord told one very nice verse. This one is not in number 6.9.48. 6th chapter, 9th chapter, 48 verse. Kinduraapam mahi prite, Aluriti. Kinduraapam mahi prite, Tathati vidurashabha, Mahi ekanta mahirnanya, Matko vanchatitatpade. So this word was spoken by the Lord. Lord said, Kinduraapam mahi prite. Tathati vibhuta vishabha, vibhuta means intelligence. So my dear demigods, you are really very intelligent and very learned, but I feel very sorry for you, he said. Because despite being so intelligent, at last you have asked for some material benediction, which I would have easily awarded to you because you are asking. He said, mahi ekanta mati nanya, one who is having ekanta mati for you, must have one sentence of it. So this is automatically fulfilled without his begging. So this begging business purpose is to them to everyone in this world. Some people are begging for some material benefits. So purpose is this begging business goes on even to the point of begging liberation from the Lord. People use the murti of the Lord, murti puja, they do begging him to get moksha so that they can give up the murti puja and then merge into Dharma. So begging business goes on everywhere. The devotee never begs for anything for his own personal self on his personal account. So this is the kind of a pure devotee. The Lord said, my pure devotee is, they never, mani ekantamati nahanya. Mani ekantamati, those who are having ekantamati for me, they never ask anything. I automatically give them whatever they want. So Lord said like that. So these are mixed devotees, still Lord is compassionate towards them. Why? Because they are coming to the Lord. He let them to reject them. Then the Lord told them, okay, it's all right. When you have already asked me, I'll give you some solution. You go to Dadi Chirishi, and you ask for his bones. And you all can make a weapon of Vasik and Indra can save the process. Lord gives a solution. But the standard is that one should not demand anything from the Lord. But not going to the Lord at all is the lowest platform, thinking that I can do everything myself. But the high platform is going to Lord even with some material desires, at least. The higher platform is to surrender to Lord without any material desires. That's why we find in the pastime of Morning Murti, you find how the demigods and demons, their behavior shows that clearly. How demigods are always favorable and demons are always unfavorable. So anything that the Lord says, the demons have to be opposite. Lord told them, but I will carry the Vasuki's mouth and you carry the tail. Demons carry it for some time and then they had a doubt. When they challenged the Lord, they said, we will carry the head. ये कह रहे थे यहाँ तो भी अपोजिट जनता के अपोजिट हमें लेटर ऑन एंड अमृत केम ऑल्सो जनता के अंदर लॉर्ड नो लॉर्ड एक्चुअली टोल्ड दैट बट सो मेनी वंडरफुल थिंग्स आर गोइंग टू कम आउट बट नोबडी शुड बिकम एजुकेटेड नाइन बाय थिंग्स आर कम बट यू कीप क्वाइट लॉर्ड टोल्ड दैट सो व्हेन एवरी टाइम समथिंग कम्स अप न्यू फ्रॉम द ओशन यू मस्ट बिकम एजुकेटेड कैन बी टेक इट So many grammar came up. She came with a beautiful garland, and all women were thinking, who is she going to garland? And she actually went to Vishnu's garland then. Vishnu. Then they said, okay, finish. So it's finished now. Then they saw like that. When Airavat came, and then Airavat was donated to the Lord to Indra. And then Varuni came, that was given to the demons to the Lord. Lord was, he was the both who was giving everything. And then in the Amrit part came, Dhanvantara got it. And Lord himself intervened. And he said that living God. It shows that the Lord is severely disposed towards his devotees. And that Prabhupada writes that the Lord wants even when the Lord saved the Pandavas, in that place Prabhupada is writing that. Why did Lord save the Pandavas after such a ghastly war? He saved them because Lord wanted some good people to be there in this world. And so some good should be going on in this world. So Lord wanted Arjuna and such good souls to survive so that the world will be ruled by such good souls. Similarly, because the demigod always depend on the Lord for executing anything, Lord is able to dispose. Look at a child, his father is dependent on the mother. So we have to make our plans, but be dependent on the Lord for the fulfillment of those plans. So one has to make the plans. It doesn't mean that one doesn't make any plans. So Lord says, Udaya Sarvate, all these people are coming to me. They are magnanimous souls. They are great souls because it's only a matter of time. So gradually, he says, you should attend me. Because he's engaged in my transcendental service. So even all of us, this work gives us a great hope that we have many material desires in our heart, which are lurking at different times. There's a fox coming out of a hole. So these desires are coming up, going in, coming up, going in. And we are doing those things on the other hand also. So it's not a very good thing. You lit fire and you put water, lit fire and you put water. But still Lord is giving us hope here that if you continue those service and never do it, if you regularly do that, then you are sure to attain me. He's saying that. So one should never leave those service. One should stick to Lord's feet. One should never become a demon. If one becomes a demon, then one will have to suffer millions of lost times. But if some or other one remains a devotee and endeavors to become a better and better devotee, then God is giving a special consideration here in this day. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Mother is asking a good question. She is asking, those who are inclined to philosophy in our moment, they are not so much inclined to seva. She is telling. And those who are inclined to services and all, they are more inclined to service and they don't like the So we have to tie the two ends. At the real time. I'm not trying. It's an endeavor. So we have to have a good philosophical backing. Same time, we should be a friend of service. Yes, that is actually. Yes, yeah. That is in the meaning of Vaishnava. You see the Vaishnava at the time of that Chaitanya, they were all great Vaishnavas. They were doing service, but they were all very, very philosophically sound also. That's good. So he is asking, why it takes time to remove the material contamination? Krishna is calling us as Udar. Still, why it takes time to remove material contamination? One thing is, probably we are not depending on Krishna so much. That is one reason. That we are so strongly attached to our own material tendencies and independence, that we don't let Krishna interfere in our life and remove the contamination. Like for example, if there is a thorn in your leg, you are not able to remove it, you should show it to somebody. And allow somebody to remove the thorn. I tell a boy,
Like once when I had a boy, you know, talking to someone that just cut. I just cut it. I never done to again. So what's on, I never done to again. And after the clear, I never done to shoot. I still never done to cut.
Stumbling blocks. So identifying the stumbling blocks is the first step in our devotion life. If you identify them, then it is very easy to then start removing them. Like for example, I am not able to get along with some listeners, or I am not able to avoid the offenses in my chanting, or you know, I don't care about my chanting, just I want to finish my rounds. Or I am not associating with the Vaishnavas properly, I am in my own world like an island. So there could be many reasons actually. So I think there is something wrong, write them down and seek solutions from devotees and start removing that status. Then we can advance very fast. And they come and go away. And he's asking some people come to Krishna for something and then after they get it they go away. They are still called devotees because they have done some sukriti. They are mixed devotees. Sometimes in future they will again come. Yeah, so there are the devotees there. Eating prasad also nobody, everyone can get prasad easily. Eating prasad also some qualification that they have. Singapore is a better place amongst food. Krishna talks, Jnani is the best, he's saying. Next to Jnani, you can do the natural way.
Verse 16,
he says Jnani,
and then
17
is
the
Jnani, but here
is 17
Jnani, which is all four
categories,
but
trying
to get knowledge for the same Jnani, he says
Jnani.
Actually,
among the four, that Jnani is the best, he's saying, but that Jnani, Krishna says, is a devotee.
But the
other
one is
a devotee. Yeah. So, earlier one is not a mixed devotee. That means, yeah, it's true, other four is a mixed devotee. But Krishna is talking of the devotee when he has achieved perfection. That means that this devotee comes to Krishna and comes to platform of perfection, then he is the best. But among the four, this Mr. Jnani devotee is the best, actually because he is in a good platform from where he can become a devotee.
Sir,
Mayavadi tendency means it is attributed in various ways. One of the ways is to minimize the guru, you know. Minimizing the guru and thinking that I am better than my guru, I am equal to my guru. Thinking that there is one tendency. Another tendency is to call guru as God, you know. Calling one guru as God himself. So that's called Mayavadi. So we were talking about the first aspect more deeply when we are speaking. So telling that sometimes among devotees they feel that he knows some shokas and I also know the same shokas. You can give lecture and I can also give lecture. So some years ago he was in a higher platform. But now I have become competent enough to match with him. Then he said this is minimizing the universe and minimizing guru. This is Mayavadi energy. So that's why among Mayavadi is progress means to reduce the distance between guru and disciple. Because now, according to them, ultimately one becomes the enlightened one. When you become enlightened, there is no difference between you and your guru, because all are Brahman. There is no difference. Yeah. So, you know, that is pure Mayavadi. What I am saying is pure Mayavadi, complete Mayavadi. That is, those Mayavadis, if they take the garb of a devotee and do some kind of murti puja and all, that is called mystic. Mystic, jnana mystic actually, yeah. Because the ultimate goal is different, but they are doing some kind of bhakti. Even they also talk about guru a lot, how to worship guru, who takes the guru and everything. But ultimately their understanding is, now there is a condition so they are liberated for. When you become liberated, you are equal. Still.
Moksha,
it says
moksha is
ultimate
goal.
Yeah. What is real moksha? What is ultimate goal? Yeah. Moksha, it is said, mukti mitva, anyata rupam, sarupena vyavasthiti. It is said. The real platform of mukti is, Mukta Vipa Anyata Rupam Sarupana Gamasthiti. So become reinstated in your Sarupa is the real moksha. That means, like in ordinate, you know, in ordinate there is zero.
0 0 Now there are negative actors. So there are many negative emotions. Negative emotions mean emotions on a bodily plane. So sometimes they are crying, sometimes they are happy, sometimes they are angry, all are negative emotions. But then the important list, they come to the platform of 0 0. 0 0 means no emotion. So no positive emotion, no negative emotion, you come to a neutral stage. That is what is called as moksha according to them. That chanti, 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 there in peace. But the chapter says beyond that chanti, there is love. That is a positive answer. That is your positive emotion. Like the relationship of Yashoda and Krishna is positive emotion. The relationship of Gopis and Krishna, or Krishna and his covered by sons, these are positive emotions. And all the pictures that you see, where Krishna is dancing with the Gopis, these are all positive emotions. Any relation that one strikes with Krishna is called positive emotion. So here moksha means every one of us have the eternal relationship with the Lord in the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is beyond the platform of shanti. You understand the point? That is, one can relate with Krishna as a friend, or as a father and mother, or as a lover, or one can relate with him as a servant of Krishna, or a neutral relationship, like a tree or a river or a cow or a calf, like that. So these are all relationships that are there, and the real platform of moksha is to again situate oneself in that eternal sarupa, that is called sarupa. What is the meaning of sarupa? Sarupa means every one of us has a eternal form in principle of time. And now we have left that situation and we have come to the material world. And we are all taking new roads and goals. Like somebody is thinking I am a boy, somebody is thinking I am a girl, somebody is thinking I am Indian, I am black, I am white, I am tall, short. But this body is simply a dress. So we have to shed this dress and become free from this body conception and go back to the spiritual world and reinsert ourselves in our sarupa. That is real moksha. So one platform of moksha is to become free from body identification. But that's not ultimate. But to realize our spiritual identity. That is ultimate. You understand this better when you keep coming regularly here. Because this is a very deep subject. Moksha is actually fourth purushartha. But bhakti is called as a pancham purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Bhakti is called as pancham purushartha. That is ultimate. That means to develop love for God is superior to simply achieve a platform of peace, that there is no suffering. Mention the point?